It's easy enough to look at a person and decide for them whether they are a child or an adult. But is it always so easy to tell when we ourselves have made that transition? And what does it even mean to be a grown-up? Michelle Goldring tells a story of fuzzy and perhaps undesirable transitions into grown-uphood.
Even though I'm a senior in college, I still tell people my life plan includes being the Little Mermaid in Disney World. I look in the mirror expecting to find that at 22 I am grown up and I have chipmunk cheeks. They're fat, and when I smile, they get wider. You could totally pass for a high school kid, a friend said last week, because of the cheeks. But they're cute. No grown-up has chipmunk cheeks, and I am not a fan of mine, but I'm a little bit proud of them just for that. At 22, I'm legal. I can drink and I can vote. And therefore, perhaps I am an adult. But I don't consider myself one of them. Grown-ups are a species unto themselves. When Peter Pan comes back too late, Wendy Darling tells him she can't go to Neverland because she is grown up. I'm old, Peter, she says. I am ever so much more than 20. I grew up a long time ago. Quick math. Wendy's daughter Jane is probably about 10, which means Wendy herself can't be younger than 30 and is probably not over 60. So somewhere in the 20 to 50 years after Peter shipped the Darlings back to London to mind their P's and Q's, Wendy found herself grown up. And my question is, when? Did she just wake up one day and decide, enough of this playing at being grown up? I've decided. I am grown up now, and I'm sick of fake waltzing with my brothers when there are real men out there. Did she look in the mirror one day and find that she had a definitive gray streak in her hair, and that's when she knew she was grown up? I wonder if it's like childhood superstition, where if you step on a crack, you break your mother's back. And then someone invents the rule that if you step on the cracks in the parking lot, it doesn't count. It's only the cracks in the sidewalk that matter. I make rules for myself. If fewer than half of my friends are married, I'm not grown up yet. If my cell phone bill still goes to my home address, I'm not a grown up. As long as I still like peanut butter, I'm not a grown up. It seems to me like growing up, the moment when you start to think of yourself as an adult and look like you never have a selfish concern ever again, is some boundary people cross over. They go in wearing sweatpants and t-shirts that say I Heart Nerdy Boys or Everyone Loves an Irish Guy and reemerge in loafers and blazers and contained smiles, an army of well-dressed, emotionally regulated clones who might indeed go to a bar but would not be caught dead screaming hello to a friend across the street. When I grow up is the topic no one gets away from, the fate that dogs everyone universally, even if you're going to be a tile carver because your father was a tile carver. You're still going to have to grow up and be one. So when you carve a tile perfectly, is that when you're grown up? That might never happen. You might be a horrible tile carver, and you just have to stay a child the rest of your life. I had a yellow star on the wall in my first grade classroom that said, when I grow up, I'm going to be an actress. Next to it was Paulina Hernandez's star. She wanted to be a hamster trainer. And everyone else was thinking about it too, wondering, will she grow up to be an actress? Will you grow up to be like your mom? Will you work for a risk management company like Great Uncle Ned does? Even just wondering if you'll grow up and learn to cooperate. Can you please just grow up faster, teachers and parents and whoever beg us? Grow up. Stop eating the gravel. It's not nice to hit. Quit complaining. Learn to deal. Develop time management skills. Can you please just grow up and stop asking us for advice and just go? I talked with friends during lunch periods in high school when we left campus and went out to get bagels and iced coffee. Karen had a new boyfriend every week, and she criticized all of them the same way. He's such a child, she'd say. If we don't go where he wants, he complains, like, forever. My friend Marissa came in laughing at her boss, who didn't like someone's project proposal, took the paper, threw it on the floor, and jumped up and down on top of it like a 2-year-old throwing a fit because no one was using the idea he wanted to use. And then, she said, he pouted the entire rest of the day. We leveled that criticism. How childish, can't you grow up? At our boyfriends and our bosses and our girlfriends who are jealous of our boyfriends, the people we hate and can't work with and pray with our decidedly adult fingers crossed we won't have to collaborate with. God forbid we get stuck with someone who pouts. How will us responsible adults ever cope with the horror? I laughed with my friends while we walked back into school with our very adult cups of coffee and felt like a complete imposter, like I should just throw my purse and coffee cup on the ground and start a game of freeze tag, just to prove I wasn't a grown-up. In movies and the lyrics to rap songs, it's the kids against the grown-ups, the passionate against the fun-suckers, as Jamie Lee Curtis said in a remake of Freaky Friday. After being on one team all of your life, growing up and admitting you're an adult is playing for the enemy team. And it made me wonder, when you grow up, do you even know what's happening? You just start making fun of people who care about where they go on dates, and you're playing on the grown-up team without even noticing that you are committing treason. A couple of months ago, I was explaining to a friend how I couldn't stand this woman who works in the front office of the camp we work at. She is that quintessential perfect adult. Maria is one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, but also one of the easiest to hate, for two reasons. One, she's completely effortless, and you couldn't be that effortlessly gorgeous even if you had a dedicated 16 hours to figure it out. And two, not only is she perfectly put together, but her hair is one of those terrible efficiency styles that doesn't even come close to the jawline, forget the shoulders. She's not only totally on top of things, but her hair, her very personal essence, exudes that scent that says, "My life is so together that I just look perfect because I'm on top of it. I don't even need to worry about my hair. I'll just cut it all off, and you still won't be able to beat that." My hair, which passes my shoulders, is the shortest it's ever been. I cannot beat that calm perfection, that unshakable air of, "I am an adult and you're just going to have to deal with that," that people like her have. As much as I don't want to be a grown-up myself, I am admittedly a little bit jealous that I have not figured out how to obtain that semi-indifferent magnetism. I get flustered and it shows. I am catty and unassertive by turns, calm one second, and then talking like I may or may not just have imbibed a triple espresso. I use more adjectives in one sentence than Maria is likely to use in the course of a week. I envy the calm and the collected, but I'm not one of them. If you were to be kind, you might call me passionate. My hair is somewhat like a flag. I run every which way, and it shoots behind in 17 directions. Even my hair does not pretend to be put together. I use my hair as a secondary form of facial expression. If I didn't have it, I would be almost like a mute. And I wonder, are women like Maria grown up, not like me, because they've cut their hair and donned the placid smile of the put-together, while the rest of us stay loud and crazy and look like two-year-olds in comparison? Have people like Maria really leveled out, or have they picked up their uniform of adultness and just given in? Sometimes I wonder if adults are completely an invention, if maybe there are no adults. People like Maria might just get haircuts that expose their earlobes and learn to restrict their facial expressions to socially appropriate variations of calm. But I had a teacher in high school, Miss Terrence, who looked like she too was one of the uniformly perfect adults. She, however, kept an armless representation of Freud in her top left drawer. A damn it doll, she called it, because you were supposed to grab Freud by the legs and bash his head into things like a whip to get out your frustration at the world and probably at your mother. Maybe everyone really stays childish and crazy, but they learn to hide it.
Michelle Goldring is a senior majoring in sociology at Stanford.